The objective awareness is not confined to any one point of the manifested universe, but is a diffused awareness, around what may be conceived of as the central ring metaphorically speaking, or to use more precise but more abstract terms, those types of atoms that most nearly resemble the atoms of the cosmic center, that are of the simplest type and least bound by complexities, form the basis of the awareness. But let it be clearly understood that the awareness is not atomic reaction, but it is entirely of the force or life side of things. It is a modification of the logoidal consciousness, not the projected atomic consciousness. It is the first reaction in a universe which is related to that universe alone, and does not originate in and return to the logos. A subject has appeared in the object. Consciousness may be defined as reaction plus memory. That is to say, an action takes place in a particular type of substance and that reaction produces a secondary reaction in another type of existence, which is related to the first in the same way as the atoms of universes are related to the atoms of a cosmos, or the form of a universe is related to the consciousness of the logos. That is to say, the subject conceives ideas concerning itself, and these react among themselves, and the reaction, to use a metaphor, leaves a track in space round which the movement of its reaction continues to flow as pure movement apart from actual transition in space of the objects which perform the movement. That flowing of pure movement in space is memory, the reproduction of an image of an action in another plane of manifestation, and consciousness is built out of memory, as distinguished from awareness, which is a form of reaction between two planes. It will thus be seen that the form, or framework upon which the universe is built, has been made the basis of a third type of manifestation, the manifestation of auto-reactions. Chapter 12. The birth of consciousness in the universe. It is very necessary that a clear concept should be formed of the meaning of consciousness, and this point will therefore be elaborated. You will recall that, in the teaching concerning the nature of a great entity, it was explained that consciousness was due to the complete reciprocal reactions of all aspects of the factors and capacities for reaction that had been developed in the course of a cosmic evolution. Consciousness is an integration of reactions, so that any change in any part is responded to by the corresponding adjustments of the whole. It is a principle of compensation that is involved. And this all-inclusive compensatory adjustment may be termed the basis of cosmic personality. In its earliest phases, it constitutes the synthesis of the latent reaction capacity of an entity. It is essentially a set of relationships, not of mechanics, and is therefore abstract. But with the development of external objects that affect the entity, new influences are brought to bear upon the compensatory adjustments, and the new compensatory reactions are thus called into play. We then distinguish two levels of consciousness: (a) the basic consciousness of the inherent constitution, (b) the compensations evoked by environmental influences. A great entity, then, starts by evolving a basic nature, projects its own image, and its awareness of that image, in its multifarious aspects, builds up the second aspect of its consciousness. These two phases correspond to those aspects of a soul known as the individuality and the personality. An individuality, whether of a great entity or of the microcosmos which is man, is that series of organized reactions which reached an equilibrium in the preceding phases of evolution. Those phases, having passed away, nothing of them remains but the capacities for reaction that have been acquired by that entity. An individuality, then, is a set of stereotyped reaction capacities. A personality is that set of reaction capacities which the addition of a new factor in evolution has made possible. Individuality and personality, then, refer to the stages of development and have a historical significance. They refer to time, not to form. That which is the personality today will be part of the individuality tomorrow. A great entity, then, builds up its first personality out of its reactions to the cosmic phases. It becomes conscious of the self thus developed when reciprocal action of all its aspects is established. That consciousness, which it thus develops, is itself an existence, objective to the mind conceiving it. As soon as consciousness has focused it as a thought form, it is created and exists on its own account, and has become an object of consciousness, and in this thought form thus created, the same interplay of forces is set up which, in the cosmos, gave rise to the great entities, and the process continues. As the cosmos is reproduced in miniature in the great company of entities, by means of which its evolution is now proceeding, so the thought form projected by a great entity in its turn gave rise to entities. But these entities begin their evolution at the point which the great entity which projects them has reached at the time of their projection. For, just as the great entity has, latent in itself, all the phases of the cosmos, so have they latent in themselves, all the capacities of the great entity. We see then in this projected thought form of a great entity which we call a universe (1), the atoms, projected by the cosmic atoms, drawn into the orbit of that traveling atom which became a great entity. 2. The lines of force and flowing currents, which are the projected consciousness of that great entity. 3. Out of the coordinations established by these second-type forces of the atoms, we get the setting up of currents of pure movement in space, which are the analogues of the first movement in space which gave rise to the ring cosmos. Thus evolution runs its cycle and returns upon a higher arc to the door by which it issued forth. It is these currents of pure movement, to be clearly distinguished from the transition in space of any object, which form the basis of consciousness in the projected universe. As before stated, action and reaction do not constitute consciousness. It is reaction plus memory which is the basis of consciousness. And the currents in space in pure movement are the basis of memory because, being frictionless because substanceless, they persist. We have then, action and reaction of manifest actions, and the persistence of the reflection of that reaction in a state which, relative to the plane upon which the reaction took place, is unmanifest. Hence the saying that out of chaos issues creation. The unmanifest has been organized. Something exists which did not exist before. Creation has taken place. These reactions speedily affect each other and so become organized among themselves. And this reciprocal reaction is the basis of personality. Thus the first development of consciousness in a universe is one great and comprehensive oversoul, the tracks of reaction which were developed in the oversoul by action on the plane of the atoms, form invisible ruts which, when any atom crosses their track, cause it to follow that course until such time as the attraction, or pressure of other influences overcome that influence. Try and conceive of the first movement of an atom scoring a rut in force, other atoms getting caught in this rut, and following its curve for a time, then breaking away to follow the impulses of their own nature and other atoms taking their place. And again conceive the process as viewed from the plane of the atoms, you would perceive the myriads of atoms engaged in their tangential dance, and from time to time you would perceive an atom suddenly change the mode of its action, pursue the new mode for a time, as if captive under the influence of some invisible compulsion, and then break away and return to its original mode of motion. If then, you examine the rut again, you would find it has been worn deeper and the next atom would be held longer before it broke away, and in addition to the path determined by the rut, each atom dances with a movement of its own. The movement of the atom would produce modifications in the rut, and with each atom that it caught and forced to follow its path for a time, the rut would be modified. This is the first and simplest phase of the soul and the body. The tracks formed in space by gyrating atoms, catch other atoms and produce secondary movements, and the track grows in consequence. The atoms which form these tracks are analogous to the traveling atoms of the cosmos. Chapter 13. The beginnings of mind and group consciousness. We are now dealing with the beginnings of mind, and it is necessary that these fundamentals be clearly grasped. You have already been told that movement of any object leaves a track in space. The object comes to rest, but the movement, as apart from the object, continues as pure movement. It is pure movement in the abstract which gave rise to the cosmos. This movement gave rise eventually to the locked-up nodes of opposing forces, which are the prime atoms. It is the movement of these atoms which forms the basis of manifestation. Manifestation, as you know it, is associated with the movement of objects, but life, mind, God are abstract, and they are based upon pure movement unconnected with any object. In our studies, we have reached the point where the reflections of the cosmic atoms, gathered about a great entity, have made the prime matter of a universe. And this prime matter has been ordered and organized into a miniature cosmos by the reflection of the microcosmic reproduction of the cosmic macrocosm in a great entity. You will recall that, in the evolution of the cosmos, the similar types of atoms settled down upon their planes, but a more complex type of atom could not settle down, because their greater bulk caused them to react with a corresponding force to the centrifugal forces of the cosmos. And instead of being held upon the seventh plane by the synthesis of forces, continued their outward path till they struck against the ring pass knot and were sent back to the central stillness. Likewise, in a universe, the atoms appropriate to each plane drew their tracks in space, and because there is no persistence of action, they are mutually cancelling. These tracks form the elemental essence of each plane. But these atoms, which are too complex in structure to settle down upon a plane, having gone out to the uttermost plane, return thence, not to a central stillness, but to a central point of unmanifestation, where the unmanifest swells up and becomes manifest. That is to say, that at that phase of developing manifestation wherein new aspects of the logoidal consciousness are being realized, these traveling atoms find their nearest affinity. You will recall that it was previously said that the movement of an object leaves a track of pure movement in the unmanifest, and remember that the cosmic state is unmanifest when viewed from the standpoint of an universe. The logoidal images, therefore, have to pass from a cosmic to a manifest condition, and in that transition they pass through a phase which is identical with that state of existence of the tracks in space drawn by the movement of an object. Therefore, being of the same nature, they can influence the tracks in space thus drawn. These tracks in space are always of the nature of a closed figure like the tangential atom tracks, and as the different logoidal concepts are externalized, these atom tracks are influenced by them, and so reproduce in miniature the logoidal phases, so that you can conceive great numbers of traveling atoms returning to the creative center, and being, as it were, bathed in the influences of the logoidal ideas. These logoidal ideas, of course, are building the framework of the universe, and so creating a huge replica of the great entity which is itself a replica of the cosmos. But within that universe, being tracks in space of the traveling atoms, not the atoms themselves, are also replicas of the logos, for the reasons given. So that you have, upon the seventh plane of an universe, gathered about the creative center, great numbers of two-natured entities a traveling atom which, because it has passed out through all the planes, has experienced the reactions of all the planes and therefore can react in each of these respective ways when subjected to the stimuli which produce that reaction. B. You have also, in addition to this atomic body, the track in space it describes in its atomic dance. This track it has in common with all other atoms, but in the case of a traveling atom which has returned to the central creative point, this track in space is impressed with the logoidal image, and this distinguishes it from, what may now be called, the inanimate atoms. These atoms have come under the influence of the logoidal self-consciousness, and their tracks in space have been caused to react to that image by the sympathetic induction of vibration, so that they have become miniature reflections of the logos, whereas they themselves have merely generated a tangential track of movement which had a simple rhythm of the repetition of that circular movement. They have imparted to them, by the logoidal vibrations, the same rhythm as the logos is vibrating to. Now remember that a repetition of circular movements gives rise to a rhythm, and that such a vibration is simply the impacting of a rhythm of one plane upon the substance of another. The logoidal rhythms, therefore, set the traveling atoms of an universe that experience their influence, vibrating to the same rhythm. Thus it is that the traveling atoms of an universe contain the potentialities of reaction of which the nature of the logos is capable. That is to say, that the logos, or great entity, in the course of its cosmic evolution, has acquired certain types of reaction. These are built into composite rhythms, and the composite rhythms are built into great chords. These chords are series of rhythms within rhythms, loops upon loops, to use another metaphor. It is these composite rhythms that are impressed upon the traveling atoms of the universe when they approach that phase of existence where the unmanifest is coming into manifestation and, by the development of their own nature, are able to contact that which is relatively unmanifest to their phase of existence. The concrete movement of an atom sets up an abstract movement, pure motion. Pure motion is the characteristic of the cosmos, and therefore is of the same type of existence as a great entity, or logos. So that, each moving atom in the universe, by its movement, creates a counterpart of itself, of the same type of existence as that which forms the cosmos, therefore of the same nature as the logos of its universe, and therefore capable of reciprocal reaction with that logos. But the atoms of the planes, having settled down upon their planes, do not come into direct contact with the logoidal mind in its realization of concepts. But the traveling atoms, because they have not settled down upon the planes, have not become bound to their own forms, are not stabilized, and therefore return to a primitive condition after they have reached a highly evolved state, and the forces of that primitive condition cannot influence them, as they can the atoms of their own plane. These traveling atoms, then, have escaped from the laws of the manifested universe, which bind into forms, for the universe itself is a thought form, and are therefore exposed to the same laws which condition the logoidal nature, and therefore receive an identical impress to that which the cosmos has imprinted on the logos. And God made man in his image and likeness. Having received this imprint, these atoms proceed to gather about themselves other atoms, because the track in space, having had a definite rhythmical circular motion impressed upon it, and no longer performing a canoning tangential Brownian movement, sets up a vortex, and the vortex draws other atoms into the sphere of its movement and holds them gyrating about it. Then you have this condition, an atom, the reflection of a cosmic atom, which is too complex to settle down upon a plane of manifestation, returns to the center, having developed, by its movement, a circuit of pure motion which is of a cosmic type of manifestation. Its cosmic aspect is stamped with a logoidal image, tuned to the logoidal rhythm by the process described, and this abstract aspect of the atom, being thus conditioned with qualities, causes its concrete aspect to move with a circular rhythm of a corresponding type. And this circular rhythm, being thus held constant, as distinguished from the tangential movements of the atoms of the planes, sets up a vortex, and the atoms about it are drawn into that vortex. Thus we have a cosmic vibration of pure motion holding a traveling atom to a particular type of movement, and the traveling atom by its movement, drawing other atoms of the plane upon which this occurs, into its orbit, and holding them there. These three aspects are : a, the sparks of cosmos, or divine ensouling spirit, which was first described as a track in space described by the atom. B. The atom, which is the beginnings of a vehicle and is known to you as the seed atom. C. The atoms of the seventh plane drawn into the orbit of the seed atom and constituting its seventh plane body. Chapter 14. The seed atom building a seventh plane body. We have traced the development of a three-part unit of evolution, and you will see that three is again the number of manifestation, three rings to the cosmos, three aspects of an universe, and also three factors to a unit of consciousness. These units of consciousness are each separate insofar as the seed atoms, and those atoms of the seventh plane matter which surround them, are concerned. The seed atom and its surrounding envelope forms a definite system of stresses and reactions which are intercompensating. In their reactions to each other's stresses they have achieved an equilibrium, and therefore become an unit. A unit is that set of interacting forces which have achieved an equilibrium and thus become stabilized. Such a stabilized set of interacting forces, which have achieved a definite rhythm of compensation, will react in unison to any outside influence, and, as no part of such a compensating system can be affected without affecting all the rest, and causing them to react, it will be seen that such an association functions as a unit. with regard to the tracks in space, however, which have received the Locoidal impress, and may now be referred to as divine images, reflections, sparks from the cosmic fire, and will be referred to as divine sparks. The case is different. Let us take a single divine spark and study its nature. It is exposed to three sets of influences: (1) the experiences transmitted to it by the seed atom; 2) the influences of its fellow divine sparks; 3) it is en rapport with the logos. It is aware of the logos, and the logos is aware of it. These influences are constantly changing in rhythms of different wavelengths, and the divine spark endeavors, by means of compensatory stresses, to blend all these into a regular tune. The locoidal influences change with the cosmic tides, which are very vast. The influences of the seed atom are incomparably speedier, and the divine sparks, its fellows, are all reacting without correlation to each other. The cosmos phases reflected by the locoidal mind form the first great stabilizing influences, and the warring sparks settle down to the tides of positive and negative phases, and gradually relationships are established, stresses are adjusted and compensated, and all divine sparks become correlated among themselves in a give and take of reactions. When this takes place, then evolution has reached its zenith. Upon the abstract aspect, they present a perfect replica of the logos at that stage of its evolution. And upon the form side of things, a geometric form is presented built out of the atoms grouped about the nuclear seed atoms, and this form is that to which the lines of force give rise, just as the crystal is a geometric form constructed by particles of matter arranged about lines of force. And as the cosmos was built up out of three inter-evolving rings, the locoidal symbol is spherical. And as the number of prime manifestation is three, the symbol of the first globe is a three-sided figure, a three-sided pyramid within the sphere. You will thus perceive that the first planetary form has been evolved. Upon the cosmic aspect of things, the position has been arrived at in which a great entity has developed a satellite. The great entity is aware of its satellite. Its consciousness conditions its satellite, and its satellite is aware of the great entity. But, though the collective consciousness of the satellite is influenced by the great entity and therefore there is reaction between entity and satellite, it is not conscious of the great entity with its collective consciousness but with innumerable individualized consciousnesses whose collective consciousness is merely aware that they are aware, which is quite a different matter. There exists, then, in the satellite, a collective consciousness which is self-conscious, aware of the conditions of its own existence as a satellite, and innumerable individual consciousnesses which are aware of the conditions in the group of atoms gathered around the seed atom with which they are associated but which are unaware of the conditions of groups of atoms gathered around other seed atoms, and which are also each and separately aware of the great entity. The consciousness of the great entity towards its satellite resembles the sight of a human eye, but the consciousness of the satellite towards the great entity resembles the sight of a spider's eye, innumerable facets reflecting innumerable images which have to be focused in the brain. The brain correlating to group consciousness, when all the divine sparks are perfectly adjusted to each other so that there is perfect reciprocity of reaction throughout their mass. Then there is a collective consciousness which focuses the images of the facets. When this is achieved, there is reciprocal consciousness between the satellite and the great entity, because they meet on equal terms. The form of the satellite has been determined by the great entity's concept of itself, apart from the constructive consciousness of the units composing it, and now the divine sparks, having attained reciprocal reaction, have achieved a collective focused consciousness, and this consciousness functions as a unit and is therefore capable of objective consciousness, and the only object of its own plane within its sphere is the great entity. Now the great entity, being aware of the consciousness of the satellite, is aware of the content of consciousness, which is the sum total of the satellite's experiences, developing, which have already been recounted. The great entity, then, has become aware of the evolution of a satellite, and this introduces a new factor into the consciousness of the locoidal mind, and this factor has to be assimilated to the rest of the content of consciousness, and as stability has been reached by the satellite and it has attained to a regular rhythm, the monotony of the stimulus causing the attention of the great entity to be withdrawn from it and consequently free to attend exclusively to the assimilation of the new factor which it has received into its consciousness, and the satellite, being thus without external stimulus, sinks into subconsciousness and thereby stereotypes its reactions. The great entity then has sunk into subjective consciousness and is actively engaged in assimilating the new factor, and again achieving a synthesis of consciousness. During this process all its forces are withdrawn. It radiates nothing. It no longer holds its universe in consciousness. Therefore the universe is only held together by the self-consciousness which that universe itself has achieved during the interning of the attention of a great entity in the process of assimilating the new idea presented to it by its universe. The universe is left to its own devices and therefore does not progress or change but constantly repeats the rhythm at which it has arrived, and thereby stereotypes it, so that the equilibrium of forces, at which it had arrived at the time of the indrawing of the great entity's attention, becomes set into form. The great entity, having thoroughly grasped and assimilated the new idea thus presented, in this case the idea of a threefold unit of a traveling atom with a consciousness upon one side and an enveloping body upon the other, rouses itself from its introspection to the contemplation of a universe fashioned upon this model. The units of consciousness developed in the satellites are at once aware of the new stimulus. They are aware of the idea of action and reaction between addicting mind and an attached body, and upon this archetypal concept they proceed to evolve. Thus a new set of stresses is set up which oversets the equilibrium established in the group mind of that satellite, and therefore all the units composing the satellite are dispersed and set out to follow the path again of the wandering atoms but plus a divine spark of consciousness and a sixth plane body. The form of the archetypal satellite, however, which became stereotyped during the interning of the logos, remains as an archetypal form. This you may conceive as circling about the logos upon the seventh plane. The divine sparks, having progressed outwards as far the sixth plane, by their rotary movements gather around themselves new bodies of the sixth plane matter, and the process is repeated precisely as before, viz. The resynthesis of the sparks. B. The establishment of the compensating reactions, which constitutes group consciousness. C. The reciprocal reactions of the group consciousness and the logoidal consciousness. D. The interning of the logos to assimilate the new idea. E. The stereotyping of the reactions of the satellite by repetition. But there is this difference in the present case. During the time that the evolution of the first satellite was proceeding, there was nothing in existence in the universe, save the logos, the satellite, and the planes of atoms. But during the evolution of the second satellite, the first was undergoing a new phase of development. The logos, having realized the possibility of an endowment of atoms with the logoidal likeness, thinks of the atoms in this way, and the atoms become thus endowed. Now the atoms of the seventh plane, as of all other planes, are continually undergoing a backwards and forwards tide-like movement, as the positive logoidal phases draw them towards the center, and the negative logoidal phases thrust them outwards. And as the attention of the dim consciousness of the atoms is raised, in the positive phase of the logos towards itself, for remember, that place in a projected thought-form universe, really means state, they receive the imprint of the logos concept of them, and they are thus caused to vibrate in the same rhythmical tunes as the first evolving atoms had, at the time when the logos became aware of their content of consciousness. That is to say, at the conclusion of their evolution. The new evolving atoms thus start where the old ended. By the archetypal forces of the first satellite they are speedily sorted into the same formation as their predecessors, rapidly recapitulating their development. They have, then, but to arrive at a synthesis of reaction, which is collective consciousness, to become conscious of the logos, and the same process is repeated as in the previous case. The first swarm of atoms, having completed their evolution in the second satellite, as already described, issues you forth and undergo a third evolution upon the fifth plane. The second swarm in the first satellite proceed likewise by the same path to the sixth plane and are there caught up and organized by the already existing set of archetypal forces left behind by the first swarm. Meanwhile, as the swarm of atoms has been sent by the Logos to people the first satellite, the Logos now thinks of atoms as having two enveloping shells, and so the new atoms are endowed with a capacity to gather about themselves matter of two planes,